Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. So this week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 14, Escape from Earth 2. Now, this one was a whole lot more dedicated to, obviously, what's going on with the story. You didn't have as many little tidbits of Earth 2, which is really, it was really cool to see, like I said, in the first half of this little two episode sort of like arc, it was really cool to see all the differences in Earth 2. But now it's really cool to see how big of a villain, how much of a menace Zoom is, because you, at the beginning of the episode, you do see him running around everywhere, destroying things. He leaves that huge sign across a building on, like, in flames, saying "Bring me Wells." Or when he zooms past that cop and leaves him the little pretty much like a pamphlet, like, "Hey, come on now, bring me Wells." Which, one thing that I found interesting was that, like, wouldn't the first place you go to look for Wells, wouldn't that be Star Labs?
You would think, but remember, he was missing for a while. That's what you can take from everyone trying to be.
That is true.
Because everyone kept saying, like, well, where have you been? You've been gone for 2 months. And the fact that he traveled to Earth 1, which is Earth 1 for them over there. And, of course, like, he knows he was in Earth 1 to begin with. So as soon as Breachers came around, they assumed it was only just Sisko and Barry, which is there to go rescue Jesse. But he didn't account for actually Wells being there. That's what I took from it.
Yeah, for me, it almost felt like a plot hole. I was like, really? It's not going to be the first place you look? But yeah, I mean, to an extent, I guess it does make sense where he would only assume Barry and Sisko would come through. One thing that was a nice little tidbit in there was when Henry Hewitt goes up to Harrison Wells and tells him, he's like, it's on channel 52. And this is not the first time they make reference to the number 52,
nope.
Which we think it's reference to the new 52, the DC Comics, which you mentioned is kind of what a lot of these stories are based off of.
Yeah, you can easily see it that it's 52 meaning new 52. So there's a lot of stuff that they're actually pushing on there from the new 52, which is great because they actually had some great story arcs in those ones. Not a whole lot of like insane ones, but this is actually by far probably one of the best ones that I've seen so far of actually a good adaptation of it too.
You know, what's funny is I think I never actually checked out the Flash in the new 52. The only thing I checked out was Nightwing, Batman, and Constantine. I actually checked out when Constantine went over to DC and they had the new 52, but it kind of fell off the deep end. So I did not continue with that. So one of the biggest issues they're having in Earth 1 is Geomancer. He still hasn't been stopped. And, you know, obviously it didn't go too well with him and with Jay Garrick the first time around, which leads Caitlin to start working on Velocity 8 because she sees how Velocity 7 didn't really last too long and how it keeps damaging his cells.
Yeah.
So it's causing even more irreparable, what seemed like irreparable damage at the time.
Yeah, and that's when Caitlin just starts trying to formulate something, and she just realizes that way 8 might not be as good enough. But then that's when she actually finishes a new formula, and they're like, well, 9 times the charm, so it's Velocity 9 that they end up coming up with, which is great.
Yeah, and you know, it's about time that Velocity 9 just kind of make its appearance in the show. And I do definitely think, I honestly, like I said, I believe that that's going to be how Wally eventually gets his powers.
I can actually see that too, because this is finally where they're actually putting out Velocity 9.
Because now it sort of seems like, well, at the same time, it sort of seems like you have to have a bit of the Speed Force already in you for that to really work. But they might make it in a way where Wally interacts with the Speed Force to one extent, and then he gets injected with the with Velocity 9. Now, this is the first time we have anyone in the city willing to talk bad about the Flash. So what we've seen in the city is that everyone embraces the Flash. Everyone's really happy when he shows up. Everyone in the city genuinely likes him, which has always been a stark contrast from Arrow, where people don't actually like the Green Arrow. They kind of treat him as a vigilante, and they've been up against them the whole time. In Barry's world, or like in Earth 1, you know, the Flash has always been welcomed. And this is the first time we see the new editor, Scott Evans, where he goes up to Iris and he tells her, no, we're not running a little fluff piece about the new Speedster or about how, like, good people should feel and how hopeful people should feel. We're running a story about how the Flash isn't around and how he's not there to protect anyone. You made a good comment calling him J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, he's a huge adaptation of J. Jonah Jameson, where he can see that as soon as he opened his mouth, it was, well, the Flash is not always going to be there to protect. It's technically been days since Barry hasn't been around. So he's pretty much saying, like, well, we can see how many times he would actually come and how many times he would actually go.
You know, to me, it seems like they're trying to set up for maybe an expansion of the Metahuman Task Force, because it honestly seems like such a small group, because it only ever looked like Joe and Patty were part of it. Mm-hmm. They didn't really show anybody else. They didn't really show that the task force really did much against metahumans. It's always been Barry trying to stop them himself. Now, with this character, it does sort of open it up for someone to be like, you know what? He's right. The Flash wasn't around for a while. All this destruction did happen, and we're not necessarily blaming him, but we got to be able to defend ourselves and not depend on him as much. Do you think that'll be something that'll be played up later on?
I think it will, because as we've seen from other superheroes as well, we've seen it happen to Batman. We've seen it happen to Superman, and I bet you it's going on right now, and also in the Arrow universe as well, where they pretty much said, like, well, this guy may not be there to save us majority of the time, and also he causes so much destruction, mayhem, and or chaos always seems to come towards them every time. And I know people are going to be like, well, honestly, if you are here majority of the time, there's going to be trouble regardless.
Yeah, to me, it did honestly feel like it was a setup for something that they might utilize later on. Maybe not so much towards the end of this season, because obviously it's very like Zoom heavy, and that's kind of going to be the main focus. But I do feel like sentiment within the city is going to shift concerning the Flash. And I'm surprised that it hasn't happened earlier, because you did see Zoom break the Flash in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised that there hasn't been more people that are outspoken in the city that have been like, okay, he's not really the hero that's going to protect us all. He'll try, don't get us wrong, mm-hmm. and we love him for trying, but he might fail.
Yeah, but it seemed that this actually was a big occurrence. He was being paraded around like if he was some sort of like dead deer. Yeah. And it's crazy that we don't actually, not a lot of people have been speaking about it. Probably it might have still been in the back of people's heads throughout the entire time, but this is one of those few instances where, like, well, this is actually might actually come back and actually say, hey, yeah, that's true. He's actually been beaten before, and since he was beaten, he hasn't been around since, technically.
And in, you know, in Earth 2, Zoom is definitely a big thing. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't think in Earth 2 they depend on the Flash as much as in Earth 1. And it just goes to show you, because they have certain technologies that sort of that helped them to an extent, and it makes them feel a bit more empowered. Well, at least that's what I took from it.
The watches, man. The watches is like the giant biggest part.
Yeah, because it shows that the people are actively combating metahumans, mm-hmm. as opposed to just leaving it up to someone else. There was a nice little tidbit where we get the very mousy Barry Allen from mm-hmm. Earth 2, and he takes Iris up to his lab, and he explains to her what the current situation, and she says how he can track, well, he might not be able to track Zoom, but he can track Killer Frost, because that's essentially who they're going to use to track Zoom. And there's a nice little tidbit where Barry Allen mentions that Spivet, mm-hmm. she's like, oh, well, she track, she's a CSI tech that compiled all this information. It just shows, like, oh, okay, there's the Patty in this world actually became, like, went into CSI became a crime scene investigator as opposed mm-hmm. to a cop. So there's yet another thing that we get to see, one of the differences from Earth 1 to Earth 2. And, you know, it was interesting to utilize Killer Frost, especially because you kind of weren't too sure how that was going to play out, because from the very first episode, it sort of makes it seem like she doesn't care about anything.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I like the fact that they actually brought up Spivet again, which is great. I like that little instance that they had on there, which is great. Her became a CSI. She was actually Barry's assistant, actually, which is great, which is one of the things from the comic books as well, which I love that they always bring up the comic books, which is awesome. They're keeping still with the lore, and they're actually pushing forward that as well. But yeah, Killer Frost, she's cold-hearted, really cold-hearted. And I like the fact that it was the idea that Cisco got, is like, well, she's actually in pain, so And she'll help us regardless, because I know that she really loved Ronnie and she would actually do anything to pretty much avenge him.
It's really cool to see that, you know, they do make a distinction between the people from Earth 1 and Earth 2, but it does show fundamentally these characters and these people are essentially the same. They just made different decisions. Which, I mean, might not be as apparent with Sisko and his doppelganger, but at the same time, it's like deep down inside, he was probably very similar.
The difference is you can see it easily, whether it's good or evil or honing one's powers or not getting their powers at all. There's still a lot of opposites that showing up in this as well, which is actually really good.
One of the biggest things in the episode, too, was the mask guy. Now, we saw a little bit of him in the previous episode, but in this episode, we see him in the cage trying to communicate with Barry and Jesse. And while Jesse hasn't really been able to decipher what he's saying, Barry's like, look, he is like, if there's anyone smart enough to decipher what he's saying, it's going to be you, because your father believes that if there's anyone in the world smarter than him, it's you. If we put our minds together, we can decipher what he's trying to communicate, and we can figure out who he is. Now, I do have my own theory as to who he is. Mm-hmm. I believe he's the real Jay Garrick.
That's really... Damn.
During the episode, you know, after watching it again with you,
yeah,
is where I was like, dude, wouldn't it be cool if that was the real Jay Garrick? Yeah. But the Jay Garrick that has been hooking up with Caitlin, essentially, doesn't know that he's real, or is just some sort of like puppet from Zoom. How would you feel about that?
I would actually be crushed, because I really love this Jay Garrick.
And imagine him, if he just wasn't real.
And him not being real, that it does make sense why his cells were degenerating too. That, oh man, actually that's a pretty good observation on there. And also what kind of gave it away too is when he actually said Jay.
Yeah, he texted Jay. And he tells him he's alive. Mm-hmm. He didn't come with us.
And he feels like kind of like relieved, or it could be devastation as well. I don't know, because
just really see mad about else. The fact. I would think that in my mind, Zoom found a way to make a clone of Jay Garrick, obviously without the powers, but through what Kalen's been doing, pretty much gives him his powers back, and so this guy becomes a whole again. Mm-hmm. Now, it would be interesting to see how that plays out and how how this masked character is going to come up later on. So there is that connection. And another thing, too, is I want to say that he's probably working with Zoom to an extent, because throughout the whole series, or throughout these two episodes, Geomancer has been a problem that kind of pops up out of nowhere. And I think when Geomancer gets to Star Labs and causes the commotion, Jay Garrick is nowhere to be found. Now, I think that he was only there, and he was only there to pressure Kalen, or his presence was there to pressure Kalen into making Velocity 9. Now, once he got that and Geomancer shows up at Star Labs, I think Jake Garrick was the one that told him where that was. And he, when he led him there, was to kill Kalen, because they're no longer useful anymore.
Oh, man, that's actually, wow, that's a really good theory on that, actually. I'm actually really shocked on that one, to be honest.
That's what I was thinking. And I didn't get any of that till the second time I watched the episode. Mm-hmm. But that's what I saw when Geomancer showed up at the lab. Because essentially, I mean, Sisko had already made it so people couldn't just show up at Star Labs. Their security is supposed to be even tighter. Mm-hmm. And also, how did Geomancer even know to go looking for them there?
That's true. Because he just walked in out of nowhere. And also, what the hell is the security system? Where is that? There's supposed to be a really tight security system in that entire area, and for some reason, everyone keeps to walk in, like, out of nowhere. Freaking first it was Jay Garrick that walks in there, and now it's Geomancer. What the hell?
Yeah, like, it really doesn't seem like it's useful at all.
No.
But that was my whole connection. That's kind of what I took from that. Now, it could just be baloney, or there could be something there, because we'll talk about the end in a second. But we do see Killer Frost, and this is what I was talking about with the characters being fundamentally the same. Because Sisko keeps telling her he killed Ronnie, so Killer Frost takes him up all the way to Zoom's lair, and she technically betrays them. So Zoom shows up, and he's about to kill Jesse, and Killer Frost just blasts him with her ice hands. And he goes down, and she looks over at Cisco and says, "You're right, he did kill Ronnie." And that's what I'm saying. It's like these characters are fundamentally the same. And I liked it because you kind of have to derive that from their interactions, from their actions with one another. Mm-hmm. And you know that actually, it really got me, because I really like that character and I really like the Killer Frost character. And it adds a bit more dimension. It makes the character three-dimensional, you know. Mm-hmm. It does show a little bit more, instead of just like I'm a killer and I'm a cold-hearted, you know.
Yeah, the versatility on the actual character itself is actually pretty impressive. Like she went from being just heartless the entire time, and then as soon as Ronnie was dead, she was devastated. And then the fact that she would go to any lengths to pretty much annihilate, was it Barry, Iris, Joe, or Barry, I don't know, Harrison Wells, and of course Cisco, to annihilate them, she's like, well, I can take you to him, or I can just kill all you and just bring you guys, or bring whoever's left to him. Which is actually pretty crazy.
You know, it makes it kind of turns her from like a villain to an anti-hero, essentially.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Because she did sacrifice herself. Obviously, Zoom's not going to like let her live, and we don't see it on screen. We don't. But let's face it, he probably killed her.
Or you never know, might have put her into that glass cell.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now we flash forward a little bit further, and you know, they get to Star Labs and they're trying to make their way across. And, you know, they do actually make it across. But one thing that ends up happening is, as they're closing the breach, you know, Jay Garrick throws the, like, techno football and this starts closing the breach. And you just see, like, Zoom's hand come out of nowhere take Jay Garrick back. And that's exactly why I think that Jay Garrick was in cahoots, essentially, with Zoom. Because why is he standing right next to the breach like that? It's like, this is a portal to another realm. Why would you want to get so close to it out of nowhere?
I honestly thought he just was going to stay there until it finally closed. Or like he kind of sensed that, all right, it's kind of closed now, so I think it's safe to stand here. But no.
I would not want to be anywhere near that.
I know, but no. Boom, you see hand, he gets yanked in there, and I was like, oh my god, that is crazy that happened.
And that's what I'm saying. I think, deep down, I really do think that Jay Garrick is not the real Jay Garrick, but some sort of clone or some sort of puppet or maybe some sort of shapeshifter that is utilizing or that went to Earth One with a specific mission of finding either a different way of getting Barry's powers, because that Jay Garrick did teach Barry a couple of things which would be beneficial for Zoom.
That's true. It helps him to actually develop his speed, his abilities as well. So it makes it seem that it was planned that way too, if you think about it. And the way how, and even in the first episode, how he was stalking him too. Like, it kind of seemed like he was getting information as well, because now I am kind of feeling that now as well. And then there's also one thing that pops up again, that actually pops up once more in this actual episode that hasn't been popped up since the beginning, was also the collar that was around Geomancer's neck. Because the last time they used it, they only used it on Atom Smasher in the first episode, and he ended up being too powerful for it.
Well, then I brought up that Patty's Pivot, like, in one of her, like, most badass moments, uses it on Barry. When he has the flash and ties his leg down.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. She's a pretty good shot.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. Caitlin ended up being the one that puts it around him, which is pretty freaking around hilarious.
Geomancer, man.
Yeah.
that was really cool. I did like seeing, you know, just, I've always kind of said that Iris and even Caitlin, too, they don't get that much time and that much development as characters. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see just them handling things on their own. Like I would definitely like to see, you know, in previous episodes, we've seen Iris take on a whole lot more. And, you know, now we kind of see, we always see Caitlin through someone else. Mm-hmm. That's why Killer Frost was such an interesting character, mm-hmm. because Killer Frost was her own character doing things for her own reasons. Which I kind of would like to see more of that from the Caitlin character. To an extent, she did, but, you know, she always does it alongside someone else.
Yeah, and she also, of course, she developed Velocity 9, too. And that's one thing where even Jay Garrick he himself couldn't have developed in on his own, and that's essentially what caused his sickness to begin with. So I honestly, I think we're starting to see now that she's actually more superior than most of those people on Earth too, as well. While they couldn't even develop that.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, she does. She did use Harrison's serum, I guess, as a reference, and then built on that. And now we have Velocity 9th. I would like to see if Barry ever gets to use it. You know, obviously I've mentioned that I think Wally will eventually use it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think Barry will, for one reason or another, take it?
I think he probably will if it comes to one of those situations where probably Zoom opens up the breach, comes back, takes everybody that he knows, and where the point where it's like, I need to get like super fast really quick and try to take him out quick. I think that's where it's going to make its debut on Barry himself.
You know what would be interesting? And I honestly think that this will probably be something they use. They'll probably utilize either Henry Hewitt or the fact that there's two speedsters in that universe to open up another breach. I feel that that will be the device they use to, that the writers will use to have Zoom be a problem again. Because it does definitely feel like, okay, all these breaches are closed. Yeah, it sucks that Jake Eric's gone, but problem solved?
Essentially problem solved now, but you got to realize he's causing devastation on Earth too. So there's process.
It's probably not going to sit well with them, you know?
No, it probably won't. And they're probably going to go back and actually do something. Or there might be like a distress call, probably from interdimensions, and it'll show up there. Could be
interdimensional distress call.
Yeah.
That, you never know. That might lead some other characters popping in and out.
Mm-hmm. I can see that happening too.
I definitely want to know. And I thought this episode was going to show who the masked character was. Unfortunately, it didn't. So no. Now you're just kind of starving for that answer. Like, who is this dude?
I really want to know now. I'm already invested in him.
Obviously, you know, my guess, I think he's the real Jay Garrick. But damn, he could very well be any number of other characters.
I think so, too. He can be anybody. But I'm still thinking speedster, of course, just because just how you put it that way. I can feel that it's a speedster. But it could be, I'm thinking it's probably Hunter Zolomon, because he's another speedster who's a reverse Flash as well. So there's a possibility it could be him. I'm thinking him or Jay Garrick as well.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com. That's film-book.com, and search for either Stephen Bueno or the Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents. That's G-E-N-T-S. Or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.